You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
So, we are in the new series. Been going on for a few weeks now, but the new series, it's called Removing the Shadow of Sin. And why we've done this, Removing the Shadow of Sin, if you're just catching up with us today, and this is maybe your first one, you can listen to the other messages online. It's aimed at making sure there's no gaps in our understanding of what it means to be a Christian and what it is that we've in fact signed up for. Now, if you can remember, right back at the start of week one, we said we needed to walk the talk. And when things don't go the way we expected, and sometimes there are consequences that we have to live with, will we continue to press into all that God is calling us to be and to do? And I think this question keeps coming up for me, certainly, and it is part of our 2018 story. What is our individual and our collective bios? Take it from Acts 17. How do we use God's gift of physical life that animates all creation to live and move and have its being? What is our story and how are we maturing in that? And if you remember over the last few weeks, I've asked you this question. What are the shadows? And I got you to ask yourself, didn't I? If you can remember, God, reveal those areas in my life that I know are still either walled off or I've got those keep out signs or those dark areas that we all run into. Do you remember I said like, Adam and Eve did after they disobeyed God. They knew they'd done wrong, and what did they do? They hid away. So I asked that question, and you remember on the slides as well, it says, what are your shadows? What is that thing that you want God to deal with? What is that thing? And actually, as per our motto verse above my head, you can see, it says, do you not perceive it? You see, I believe God is speaking loud and clear again this morning. And it's maybe a few weeks now, and you know he's saying the same thing to you. And I suppose my question is, and part of this series is, are you going to step out from the shadows this time around? Now, summarizing last week and where we were at, we saw that God is our foundation. All of his word is truth. And with his truth as our foundations, God can build many things in and through us. Remember what Jesus said to Paul? Remember that bit? I'm sending you to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. And equally, we can only do this if we actually know that God is light and that through his son Jesus, the dark things of this world or the things that once held us down can not only be taken away, but actually God takes those and they can be fashioned into a weapon in our hands to defeat an enemy that really does seek to destroy us. Now, in order to move forwards in our faith, we do need that foundation of God the Father. And as we sung it again this week, he is a good, good Father. And he calls us to follow him. And right at the end of last week, I said there are some real basics that sometimes folk have missed. They've come so far, but they've stopped in the middle. And one area of this is baptism, where folk become stuck. And my challenge is to you again this morning, if you have not been baptized yet, are you being obedient to the scriptures? It's not to please me. Don't think it's about me and how many more baptisms we can get through. But it's about you being confident in God. And if you're not going to follow him, particularly Jesus, through the waters of baptism, where is your confidence? So in my obedience, I will be offering opportunities for baptism again. We've got a couple of people that are looking to get baptized now. Praise God for that. But it's not a numbers game. I really want you, if God is speaking to you, if you have not been baptized, fully submerged under the water, as it says in the scriptures, as Christ demonstrated, you've not been baptized. So look at what Acts says. You might be waiting to say, well, God hasn't told me yet. Look in Acts. It's his word. Acts 22:16. It says, what are you waiting for? And the instruction follows, get up and get baptized. So there's my challenge. It's picking it up from the end of last week. But let's be obedient in all that we follow Christ and all that he calls us to be in Christ. It's going to be part of our Discipleship Explored series that's coming up. It's going to speak a lot about being in Christ. Are you in Christ this morning or are you looking in from the outside? Now, this week's message, and it does follow on very well. In fact, I've changed the title a little bit from the one I previously had down for this week. Because as I was praying for church, and I think with my recent health journey and other pastoral things that have come up, I was drawn to this verse from Proverbs 28:19, and it does follow on really well from last week. It may be you know the words from this proverb, and it starts as follows. Where there is no vision, yes, the people perish. That's what you know. As it says, that's the King James Version. But some stop there and miss out the last half of this verse. So I've got a number of versions here. It sometimes helps, depending on what version you have, to look at what the various versions said. It might offer you something slightly different. It unlocks an understanding for you. So in the New King James Version, Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no revelation or prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. Now, the NIV says it this way. It says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. And I know a lot of people are reading the New Living Translation now, puts it into maybe slightly more modern language. It says this, Proverbs 29:18, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. Which again, we'll speak very much on our Philippians verses, speaks about joy a lot. But what is this proverb saying? I think we can all agree it's actually pretty clear. It is that if we don't hear God's word, then we can expect things to start breaking down. Society can break down. Even local churches can follow that same path. And how should we approach God and accept his guidance then? Well, look up Matthew 18. Jesus is speaking here, and he says we are to come to him like little children. And moreover, the context of this passage is actually about position and ranking. I'll give you that. But alongside Jesus' call to change their attitudes is the fact that as little children, they come as those who are unable to be controlling of their situations. But they have to be obedient to change, obedient to humility, obedient to surrender to that King of glory. And on one hand, so-called grown-ups think this is lose-lose. I've got to give all this stuff. I worked hard for all of these things. It's the way it's always been. Please don't come in and change it. But for the child who inherits everything from a loving father, it's win-win. And little children have little fear. Who here was a climber? Yeah? Or lived with a sibling that was once a climber? I can see a few nods. Well, you know that brother or sister, they probably climb everything and anything. Nicky and I actually were once called to see Art at the top of the tree. How clever he was about 4 years old up this tree. It was an 80-foot tree, and he was right at the top. Yep, he had made it. King of the castle and all that stuff. But Nicky was having kittens about how he could get down. He's obviously with us today, so you know he did. But the thing with the climber is they can fall. And when they do, and it hurts, then they think twice about climbing again and develop a fear of falling and hurting. And as that child grows, they will get more of a past. As they grow a bit older, maybe there's a few relationship disasters, maybe work or business failures, and these negative experiences start to shape our future and how we deal with things. Dare I say it, even a few bad church meetings or experiences, and then we start to close off saying, I'm not going back there again. Now, for some, it seems the harder your past is, the more difficult it is for you to move into the future. Now, let me be clear. This is not heading towards an old people versus young people message, so hear me out on this. This is not an age thing at all, but how you look at your past will shape how you look at your future. So, let's be clear. A young person with very little negative past experiences are all about the future. Don't our kids want to grow up so fast today? They're all about future. I want this and that and this and that. And when I get my driving license, I can go there and there and there. And all they're worried about is pressing into the future with that complete abandonment, not being restricted by anything financial or any of the practical implications. They are simply dreaming dreams. Maybe you can remember back to that. However, once we move to adulthood, the past starts to rob us of the excitement for the future. And ultimately, you get old. Now remember, I'm not saying it's an age thing. This can happen at any age. You get old when your past starts to control your future. Now, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with remembering. But an old person, remember I've said it's regardless of age, this is not a number thing, it's an attitude. When that old person starts to tell you about the good old days, I remember when, who's been there? And as I said, it's okay to remember, but if you were to find yourself reminiscing about how much better it was back then, maybe the tears are streaming down your cheeks saying how good the old songs were and how I used to worship back then. Look, let me challenge you, be careful. I got this quote from another pastor, and it really challenged me as well. This pastor said this, "You are not worshiping God when you remember the days when you did worship God." Let me read that to you again. "You're not worshiping God when you remember the days when you did worship God." I used to worship back then. Be careful. Now, reading this morning was from Acts 2 and verse 17, where Peter is quoting from the prophet Joel. It says there in your Bibles too, Acts 2:17, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." You see, the power of God is coming about through visions and dreams. It's not through memories and nostalgia. Our motto verse says this very thing. See, you look above my head, look, see, I am doing a new thing. Don't you get it? But immediately before that, and we've spoken on this before, what does Isaiah 43:18 say? I maybe need to add it up there. It says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old." New King James Version. What does it say in the NIV? It says, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past." And I love the New Living Translation. It's really fresh. It says, "But forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. Do you not perceive it?" You see, either you're going to be living on the energy of today or you're going to be dying in the memories of the past. And I genuinely do say this with love this morning because I know people of any age don't like change. My kids don't like change. My nan doesn't like change. I get it. And I'm in the middle. And there's some things I don't like change. But that's normally for those that worry about this is because those changes are perceived to challenge something from their past. And whilst that's never generally the intention, if your identity is all about what you've done in the past and not about whose you are, then those thoughts are going to start creeping in. If your identity is not in Christ, but it's in the past, when change comes, you're going to struggle. So I'd ask this question, what is your connection with God like? If somebody said to me, I'm struggling, what is your connection with God like? Are you engaged with God on a daily basis? Is Holy Spirit speaking to you and filling you with visions and dreams? And do these visions and dreams inspire you about how God could be using you to serve future generations? Are you inspired to make provision for them? Or is it all about you and what you need now? You know, we've built this church here. We want a new building. It's been said many years before I come along, we want that new building. Or what about the building after that? How big is your vision to see the lost saved? You see, interestingly, if the past situations have been as good as you think they were, then where is their provision for you now? You see, maybe the reality of the past was that you saw things as good for them, and you're expecting those so-called good things for you now. But did they make provision for you? And unfortunately, it's gone full circle, and now it's down to you to provide for yourself, and you didn't expect that. You see, we need to lift our eyes from the past, as Isaiah said. See, I am doing a new thing, God says. And when as a church, who you called me to serve here, when I came, I felt God gave me visions and dreams for what this could be like. And I asked him to give them to me. And what do I see? You see, I see Tile Hill saved. where folk from around us would say, God is at work in and through us, and Tile Hill is a difficult place for people to go to hell. You see, God is at work in Tile Hill. Do you have vision for that? That's the vision I feel I have. That is the vision that God has given me, and it excites me. You see, Tile Hill, it's like many other places. It breaks my heart when I do see the drug and alcohol and the addiction issues. But speaking with broken people, there is always that thing that they're trying to numb the pain from. Instead of being energized by Holy Spirit for a future and living life to the full as God intended. You see, if the shadows of this life are entered into by running away from issues, whether that's drug and alcohol taking or, by way of example today, just being old thinkers locked in our past, then our energy will soon be spent and we'll be looking for more ways to get that better fix or withdraw further into our past where we thought things were better. It might even stop us from coming to church. I guarantee our priorities will start to change. You see, we need a higher purpose. And for a higher purpose, we need a higher energy. And God's Spirit at work in us, causing us to have dreams and visions, is the only answer. Otherwise, we genuinely will plateau out. Our energies will fail. And believe it or not, even in church, we will find ourselves petitioning the pastor about when are things going to be put back to how they were in the old days. This is not meant to be taken personally. And as pastor, I want to see everyone moving forwards with God. So I must challenge everyone. It's bold on my piece of paper. It says, how big is your vision? Where is your energy spent? Are you working as hard today as you did previously to see the new come? You see, dreams and visions elevate us from where we are to thinking outside of the box we have climbed into and made comfortable for ourselves. And the trouble with saying, well, actually, Darren, my little box was okay until change come along, is not kingdom thinking. If we say, I'm well, I'm financially secure, mortgage is paid off, I don't need anything else, life is comfortable, thank you very much, then I'd ask you the question, have you stopped dreaming? Could it be, there's early retirement nowadays, you've become old, regardless of that number of your age? You know, I have had the privilege of knowing a number of elderly people who are old in numbers that still have a passion and a vision for all that God will and still might do through them. And I'm sure if I describe them to you without giving their age first, you might think they were quite naive teenagers. But they know a God of no limitations. So if God has given them a vision for it, will he do it? Will he do it? What do you think? If you want to flick in your Bibles to the middle of Psalm 78, and if you were to look around verses 17 to 19, I'm not going to actually read it all out this morning. You can read that through yourself, but just to highlight some of the bullet points, you will see Israel, who's been set free from slavery, and here they are losing their visions and dreams. And to pick out a few key verses from here, a few key words, instead of worshipping God, they're now rebelling against God. It says in the verses there, have a look for yourself, testing God, speaking against God. And this is a God who gave them everything they needed and more. And here's this generation without vision who've been saved from slavery, but they didn't enter in to all that God had promised, the promised land. And to highlight this point for us today, you see, we can be saved. We can be saved from, and you could sit there and say, I am saved. But my question is, have you entered in? Do you still feel you're in the wilderness? Are you sat on the sideline watching others move forwards, watching others get baptized, and you're thinking, no, I haven't done that yet, and I've been coming here for years and years. Why haven't I done that? Are you like the Israelites that are in the wilderness and you haven't entered the promised land yet? Look, they were wandering for many years, 40 years. Are you still to enter in? See, my question is, are you limiting God today? Have you lost vision that he is actually able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine? And I know I've asked you this question before, But if he can do more than you can ask and imagine, what are you imagining? You see, are you imagining Tull Hill saved? Are you imagining a new building that's built on the grass that we're not cutting it anymore? With 800 seats, a large cafe, community projects going on, accommodation so we could help the homeless, maybe small retail pods so that we could offer advice and prayer and food and everything that this community might need. And there is a proper community in that place. You see, look how far God has brought us over these last few years. And having done all that we have done, we've still got money in the bank. And there's still a number of pots that still need to be spent on the visions and dreams that are still active. Come on, guys, what an amazing God we've got. In bold again on my bit of paper. How big is your vision? What are you imagining? So look, are you asking God to help you dream more? Or are all your energies going to be spent on trying to make things how they once were when you thought it was better? Or are you after what God is doing now? I mean, maybe I can share a dream with you. Can you dream of new facilities to help us see more people saved? Or are you dreaming about getting the old ministers' names back on the wall? Because you've lost vision for today and you want to remember what it was like back then. Now, don't get me wrong. And I do mean this. I don't want to be lynched afterwards. I rejoice over loads of things that have happened in the past. It's wonderful. And there's some beautiful people. I've had the privilege of meeting a lot of those previous ministers over at that 60th anniversary. But what I see during those times was about they had vision for their here and now, and they entered into it. When this building wasn't here, they had vision to put this building here. When the manse was built, there was vision for that. When there were hundreds of children attending Sunday school and meeting everywhere in church, and I've been told it was in the manse, it was in the kitchen and everywhere, children everywhere, maybe there wasn't vision for that. But hey, God gave you immeasurably more than all you could ask or imagine. There's been some wonderful times here at Limbrick Wood, and that was then. And it was for then. And they had vision for that. And what is God saying to us as church now is for now. So my question, are you asking God what new things I can do for you today? Again, how big is your vision? What are you imagining? Are you asking God to fill you with his vision and live by faith again to see what God can do through his church here at Tull Hill? Are you asking God to give you dreams and visions for the future, or are you dying in the shadows of the past? Last slide coming up. Where God gives vision, he will also give provision. And this has been proven here for 60 years plus. We've got a great God. So this week's shadow that needs to be taken away is the shadows of the past. And how do we move from this shadow? Well, look, ask yourself, what is empowering your life? Is Holy Spirit speaking through dreams and visions and the light of the future? Or are you hiding, even dying, in the shadows of the past?
You are listening to an online message from Limbrick Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrick Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.